Good morning. You're listening to Cocktails and Conversation. I'm your host, Erica, and with me each and every Saturday morning is my wonderful co-host, Robbie. Today, we have a special guest coming on a little bit later this morning. We have authors Joyce Slanger and Lori Noble. They're the authors of the new book, Gritty Lasagna, The Print and Blueprint. They're going to join us on the show and talk about what grit is, how we can get gritty in 2015 to make this the best year ever. So I am excited to have them coming on the show a little bit later. Miss Robin, how are you this morning?
I'm good. It's early, but I'm wide awake.
You sound wide awake. Did you have your morning cup of Joe?
No.
Or are you Joe-less?
I'm Joe-less. I'm really not a huge coffee fan, although yesterday I had Starbucks for the first time in probably, I don't know, a year. Because I don't like coffee that much. Like, I'll drink it at, I like gas station coffee. I know that probably sounds gross, but I like gas station coffee. And so Starbucks was a little too strong for me, and I'm, like, feeling the effects right now.
Oh, wow.
And
you know, you said that was last night?
That was last night.
Okay, so you're a caffeine lightweight, huh?
Yes, I am. I drink Coca-Cola. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so is Coca-Cola your go-to drink when you need that boost?
Yeah, it's my 3 o'clock go-to.
Okay. See, I'm a big coffee drinker. I can drink coffee all day, every day. I like Starbucks, of course. I don't like the Starbucks price. I think they're extremely overpriced, but it's good coffee. I mean, you do get what you pay for. So, but I agree with you.
Yeah.
I like gas station coffee, too. We have a chain of gas stations here in Atlanta. They're called Quick Trip. And when I tell you, they have the best coffee, like, ever. It is really, really good. And Quick Trip is kind of like gas station / convenience store. I mean, they've got a little bit of everything in there. If you want to grab some lunch, they've got hot dogs and sandwiches. I mean, it is like the go-to gas station. A full beverage center. So my kids like going to get, you know, the frozen drinks, the Slurpee type drinks. They love those. Because you can mix and match. So yeah, I agree with you. Gas station coffee is the best.
It is. It's just right mix of sweet.
Yes, absolutely. So do you have any plans for Super Bowl?
No, I don't. We probably will watch it, but I'm not a Patriots fan. The Seahawks are okay, so I'm not really, you know, into it as I would be if they're one of my teams playing. So not really. I'll make some wings, and I was at Costco the other day and bought a bottle of margarita mix. I think it was Jose Cuervo, and it already has everything in it. So I do plan on having a great margarita on Sunday.
Several margaritas on Sunday, huh?
So that's what I'm looking forward to on Sunday. And, of course, Katy Perry. I do like Katy Perry.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see her halftime show. It'll definitely be interesting.
Yeah.
Hopefully she won't have any wardrobe malfunctions, you know?
And, of course, the commercials. How about you guys?
We have been invited to a Super Bowl party. And, you know, as I'm sitting here talking to you, I was just thinking I hadn't even mentioned it to the Huster. So I do need to talk to him to make sure he doesn't have any plans. But we've been invited to a little Super Bowl gathering. So I think I'd like to try to go to that. A friend of mine, actually one of my sorority sisters, her and her husband, they just recently relocated to the Atlanta area. So it'll be good to see her again, and to meet her new husband. So hopefully we can go over there and hang out with them at least for a little while, and then, you know, swing back home. I just hate the Super Bowl is on Sunday. You know, why can't Super Bowl be on Saturday? When you don't have to go to work the next day. You can party and, you know, then you'd have Sunday to recover.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with that, but typically footballs are on Sunday. Football games mm-hmm. are on Sunday, so that, you know, they're just keeping with that tradition, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what, I'm sure it was a man who came up with Super Bowl Sunday, so there's probably no rhyme or reason why they picked Sunday of all days. Maybe Saturdays they were doing, like, lawn work or something. I don't know,
but, you know, we'll see. Let me see. Out of the two, I hope the Seahawks win again.
You know, the Seahawks. You know, I'm neither fan. I don't particularly care for the New England Patriots, nor do I particularly care for the Seattle Seahawks. So, I mean, to me, it's a wash. I'm with you. I'm going to watch it for the commercials and halftime show.
And the halftime show. That's how
now,
they get us, Eric.
That's how they get us, girl. That's how they get us. Now, I thought this was pretty interesting. A lot of the commercials, or, you know, a lot of the companies that are going to be airing commercials during Super Bowl Sunday, because we know that that is a big time to debut your commercial with, you know, hundreds of millions of people watching the Super Bowl. A lot of them have actually leaked their commercials prior to Super Bowl, which I thought was ingenious too. And they're using the power of the internet. One of the commercials that I really like, it is a technology company, Morphe. I'm giving it an extra syllable or extra consonant. They have a commercial. It's called All Powerless, and it shows what happens in the world when God loses or has low battery power on his cell phone. And it's kind of like the end of the world, you know. Fish are falling from the sky. Animals are running rampant. There's an image of a dog walking a man. And, you know, you're watching this and you're trying to figure out, like, what in the world is going on? And then towards the very end, there is this black man who's supposed to be God, which I thought was absolutely cool. And he's looking at his battery phone. He's looking at his phone battery, and the little icon shows that it's red. And he's like, oh, man. So, you know, even God at the very end, it says, you know, even God knows how it feels when you lose power or something like that, which I thought it was such a cute commercial. So I will make sure to post some of those commercials, or at least my favorite ones that I've seen so far, on the blog. You want to make sure you check it out at www.cocktailsconversation.com. But, you know, I thought that was a pretty...
That's too cute, but I was going to ask you a question, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. What's the question?
So one of the big things that has come out this week about Super Bowl is Marshawn Lynch. And Marshawn Lynch. Not him, but although he's a little bit crazy. Richard Sherman, his wife is expecting a baby. She's due any day now. And he may not be at the Super Bowl, or he could be at the Super Bowl and have to leave if she goes into labor. And a lot of people are saying that he should stay, and, you know, if she's having a baby, he'll see the baby after the game. What do you think about that?
Robin, why would you ask me such a question?
Because I want to know.
Well, first of all, let's just say this. I don't even think it's Richard Sherman's wife. I think it's the baby mama, right? I don't think they're married.
Thought that too, but then I read a couple places that it said wife. So I'm not 100 on that.
Okay.
But it's his baby regardless. It's his baby.
Okay, so here's the deal. I think the baby isn't technically due. Her due date isn't until, what, February, I think it is? Mm-hmm. And again, I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, the stories that I heard is that she's at the end of her pregnancy, so let's just say that. The end is definitely near. And she made a trip to Arizona to be with him during the Super Bowl game.
Well, she must not be that due because you can't even fly after a certain amount of time.
No, she is due. She is due, and I want to say that her against her doctor's orders, and I want to say, hold on, that she is with him, and I'll have to double check to make sure. But I think I would not want to be in that position if I were him. And here's the reason why. And it's a hard decision because you have to look at it like his job is that of professional athlete. And you work very hard throughout the season, both in practice and actually on game day, to get to where you're at. And the Super Bowl is kind of like the Oscars of sports. You know, it's mm-hmm. the ultimate competition. And for mm-hmm. him to miss out on participating in that, I think it's tough. It's tough because this is what you do. This is what you've prepared for all year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can see him choosing to play in the Super Bowl now. Let me put my wife hat on or baby mama hat on. You know, how many mm-hmm. times will you give birth to that child once?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't have an opinion already one way or the other because I understand both positions. So,
sure.
You know, mm-hmm. hopefully she can squeeze real tight, do some Kegels, and keep the baby in for the game. Or, you know, if she goes in labor, let me tell you, through the powers of modern medicine, there are drugs that doctors can give you to kind of, you know, cool things
away.
Off until daddy gets there. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't envy him at all. I'm yeah. Richard.
Yeah.
Brother. It's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah. You know, this would be a good question for us to ask our guests a little later too. They might have a great opinion on it. But I'm with you, Erica. This is like the one opportunity of a huge stage to showcase your talent, to be involved in the game of the year. I would stay. I mean, you know, babies are important. It's family, and then that's what his owner came out and said the other day, family's first. But, you know, I don't know. Births of babies, they happen all the time, too. So how many times are you going to get to the Super Bowl? This is his second Super Bowl. I understand that. But this is what he's worked for since he was in Little League, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I probably, as a mom, because I'm not going to ever play football on that level, but as a mom, I would probably say, son, you should play. But, you know. His wife or his baby mom might not appreciate that.
Yeah.
So interesting. It's interesting. So we'll see what happens.
So yeah, now she is in labor. She is in Arizona with him. So she did travel. And according to this report that I'm looking right now, it does say that it's claiming that Ashley Moss is actually his girlfriend. So Jean, you know, there's conflicting information here, but that they do have a contingency plan in place in the event that she does go in labor. So it looks like they've, you know what, I think that they've probably worked it out. You know, I'm sure that a conversation has been had between the two of them and that they're, you know, in some agreement, some form of an agreement, especially seeing that she traveled to be there with him. So obviously, you know. And like I said, hopefully she will not... You know, I guess we're talking about something that we don't even know if it's going to happen. Because right now, the baby is still in her stomach.
It is still in her stomach, but that has been one of the biggest things talked about all week long is what will Richard Sherman do? WWW Richard Sherman.
That's a tough one. I don't think I'd want to be him. You know who else I don't want to be right now? It's Suge Knight.
Ooh.
Let me tell you. He was, I just read today that he was arrested in a fatal hit and run. Now, what I have heard is that he was on a movie set in California, and there was him and a friend of his. that were on this set, and there was some sort of altercation that broke loose. Suge Knight, you know, he's pushing 50 right about now, decided to flee the scene. He just, you know, instead of having a fight, he was like, I'm just going to leave. So he ran to his truck, got in his truck, and took off. And in him driving off in a, you know, very fast, he wound up hitting the friend that he came with and killing him. And he injured another person. The bad part about it is he didn't stop. He just kept going. But he has been arrested. You know, what's up with him? I mean, you know what? Let me just say this. Carmen is a bitch, for real. Because out of all the bad that this man has done, for this to happen, Carmen is just a bitch. So, yeah.
Well, this movie is being produced by Ice Cube and Dr. Dre. And this is the second major incident that's happened on set. The first one was a drive-by shooting. So they might want to rethink making this movie. I mean, this is crazy. It's being filmed in Compton. And I don't even know why Suge Knight showed up. But when he showed up, the person that he had the argument with, I don't know if they were security, but they told him the set was closed. He could not come on set. So I'd also read that, I guess, he has been pretty ill as of late. Last year, you know, he was shot 6 times. And he's having some complications from that. So he had a blood clot that I guess he almost lost his life about a month or so ago. And so he's pretty frail from what they say. And the gentleman, not gentleman, the people got into an argument with him. And as you said, he decided to leave. Well, in his haste to leave, a friend of his was walking around the back of the vehicle to get in to leave with him. And he, I guess, accidentally ran into him. Now, what I also read was that he hit him twice.
Yeah, he backed into him and then ran him over.
Yeah. So, I don't, I mean, how do you not know? Why do you leave? I mean, he knew he hit this man. If you hit an animal, you feel that. So you know that if you hit a human, you have probably caused some harm to that person. So anyway, I don't know, but as you said, Erica, karma can be a bitch, and he has had just a tumultuous lifestyle.
Yeah, he has.
That so he's been arrested, because I had not heard that. He has been arrested?
Yeah, he's arrested. I don't know. I was trying to read the article real quick to see. Yeah, he's being held on a $2 million bail. So, you know, I'm sure he'll be able to get out until he, you know, stands trial or, you know, whatever it is they decide to do. But, yeah, I mean, his history with, you know, run-ins with the law go back, you know, at least 20 years. So, and I know because of, you know, his prior convictions, in addition to this, he could probably, you know, face a lot of time in prison the rest of his life. And you know what? That's probably the best place for him. I hate to say it, but it's probably where you need to be. That's where you need to be, Shook. That's where you need to be. So I guess we will keep up with this story as more unfolds, but, you know, very sad to hear of, you know, what happened. But, yeah. Be careful what you put out there in the universe, because it will come back and bite you in the butt.
Yeah, and rest in peace to the young man that was unfortunately lost his life. I think his name is Taylor or something. But he was an actor, been featured in he was Training Day and some other series. I can't remember what it was, what I read, but yeah, so very sad story.
Very sad, very sad. Serena Williams, she's in the news. She won her 6th Australia Open. And now this is a total of 19 Grand Slam titles. Can you just play Super Tennis Player?
Girl. I ask my son all the time, because he always says tennis is so boring. How can people watch it? I said, well, when Serena plays, you watch it. He said, that's not tennis when Serena's playing. That's something else.
You know what? I tell you, though, Serena and Venus Williams have really changed the game of tennis altogether, because I agree with him. When I watched a tennis match here or there, you know, growing up before the Williams sisters came into the scene. And, you know, outside of John McEnroe, it was, you know, I'd rather watch paint dry. I'd rather play tennis than watch tennis. But you're right, you know. So I don't know if for me it was because there were two little black girls that were playing tennis and they were really good, or if it was just because, especially Serena, she's such a vocal tennis player and she's so passionate that you can just feel her passion. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But she is the bomb.com with killer thighs and booty badonkadonk going on.
Girl,
so.
Did you see her doing the she was stretching before one of the games this week, and she was doing the splits. And I'm like, whoa, she just, woo, that body is just brick house all day.
Yeah, body of an athlete, absolutely. Yeah, please don't say that. This is a family show, so. this Thursday, Shonda Rhimes is back, thank God for Thursday, with the coming back from a midwinter break. It was Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, and How to Get Away with Murder. I am not, I must admit, I am not a big Grey's fan. I've watched it by default before Scandal came on. I did not watch it yesterday, but I did get a chance to watch Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder, and all I have to say is Shonda, why? Just Shonda, why?
Okay.
Why?
I did not watch it. I fell asleep doing Grey's Anatomy. So, but, you know, I read all the comments on Facebook. I hate Facebook for that. What happened?
Well, you know, as we know, or as you remember, at the end of, I guess, what was it, the fall finale, or right before this midwinter break, you see the last scene, we see Jake and Olivia, they are dancing to Stevie Wonder, drinking wine, having a good time, things get a little hot and heavy, Jake goes back into the back to get a blanket and some pillows, and he comes back to find that Olivia has been snatched, so... Olivia has been kidnapped by this mysterious group for reasons we don't know, other than they're trying to get information about her relationship to the president, just, you know, what is the relationship between the two of them. And she's being held hostage. We don't know where. I'm still trying to figure out how much time has lapsed between her being kidnapped to, like, the present time, because Sister Girlfriend goes from a, you know, blow-dry, flat-iron, sleek Olivia hairstyle to, you know, a mad woman. Looked like her finger was in a socket, okay? Fingernails are very dirty. Not the Olivia Pope that we're used to being polished. And, it'll just, you know, I'm just trying to figure out where Shonda is going with this, because I'm just, like, you know, confused.
The group's not BG16 or whatever that is.
Oh, B13, B16? No, they are not. Well, as far as we know, they're not. So it's going to be interesting. Now, I will say this. Olivia did prove that she is a gladiator, and she took out two of her alleged captors. You need to go on ABC.com, Robin, and you need to watch Scandal. But I'll tell you this. I have a newfound respect for underwire bras, because Olivia did a MacGyver with her underwire. And... you know, I know there's been some controversy about, you know, women wearing underwire bras and how they can hurt you, but I'm not giving mine up, because you never know when you may need to pick a lock or stab somebody or open up a window latch.
What I'm cracking up on is she don't even have enough to support her underwire, but I'm gonna keep it moving.
Well, you know what, I'm sure underwire bra sales have probably tripled since the airing of Scandal. So it will definitely be interesting. She did have a dream sequence during this, you know, this episode, and one of the comments that I saw on Facebook, which I thought was really funny, is they made reference to Bobby's dream sequence on Dallas. Remember that whole season where,
yes,
you know, it was all a dream? Yeah, yeah. So I thought that was kind of neat. So maybe Shonda paid homage to, you know, the whole Bobby dream sequence on Dallas. I don't know, but it was definitely, it left you. To me, it just left me wondering why, like, what's going on. So I don't know how I feel about this first episode. You know, I wanted to see some hot, steamy scenes between her and Jake, because I'm definitely Team Jake. So, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We do know that on the show, the Republican Party, they want President Fitzgerald Grant to go into war with this African country. So I'm sure Olivia being captured has something to do with this war. So we just kind of need to figure out. Yeah, we need to figure out what it is and how that all plays into her capture. But we do know that whoever has her, she's more of an asset alive than she is dead. So at the very end, I guess the guy that's the ringleader told her, come on, we've got work to do. So I don't know, but you know what? I bet you she's sitting up here kicking herself in the butt for severing ties with Papa Pope, because Daddy would be on it. Girl.
Daddy gonna show up, girl.
I don't know. He was just like, whatever, you on your own, baby girl. So I don't know if he knew something was coming. I don't know. But Papa Pope does practice tough love. So he may let us live a little bit.
That is so true. Wow.
He may let her sweat. Yeah.
Well, I did DVR it, but my DVR has been acting a little weird this week. I don't know what it's doing. So I will go on ABC and catch up with Scandalville.
Yes, very good, very good. And you know what, Robin, I do need to give you a virtual slap on the wrist, because you should know better than to go on any social media on Thursday night, especially seeing that all of your friends are East Coasters and you're a West Coaster now. So you're just a glutton for punishment for doing that. I'm just going to put it out there.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. So I do my best to try and avoid it, but sometimes it's just unavoidable. I need to go on there and be nosy and read other stuff, and then bam, it's a scandal update, and I just get immediately pissed off.
Yeah, you should know better. So I would just, if I were you, I would just, you know, turn off, disable, delete your phone app for Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, and I would just cut the computer off. I would just cut the computer off. So that, you know, you don't get any of the spoilers. So, you know what, speaking of technology, and this is just a small little rant. So I know our guests are waiting, and we want to bring them on so we can talk about getting gritty. But I hate it when I get an instant message from someone, so either a text message or, you know, an instant message, and then they harass you for an answer. So I posted on Facebook, and this was a work-related issue because we're working on I'm working on a multitude of projects, and there's one that's really low priority for me, and this person knows it was very low priority for me. But when I tell you I was berated with instant messaging on my laptop, like every couple seconds, did you get my message? Do you have an answer? What are we doing? Blah, 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 blah. You know, what color is the sky today? You know, did you wear tie shoes or flip-flops? You know, so I had to post something that said, you know, an instant message from you does not mean you'll get an instant response from me. As much as I love technology, As much as I love it, I hate it in the same token, because there's this misconception that because you send something to someone via instant message or Skype or whatever, text, that you're going to get an immediate response. And that's not necessarily true, because you don't know what the recipient on the other of that message is doing. So I was just having a love-hate relationship with technology. It wasn't very good. But anyway, I did respond to the person, and we got a response.
The downside to that is instant messenger, people can see when you're on Facebook. And then you could post something on Facebook, and they're like, well, how did she post something if she didn't respond to my message? That's the downside to it. But I say people that I work with, unless we are really good friends, I do not follow them on Facebook.
Oh, she wasn't even. This isn't even a Facebook issue. It's not even a Facebook issue. This is totally off Facebook. It was just, you know what, I guess it was just a blanket statement, just period. You know, it was one of those, I was frustrated, and because this person, when I tell you, she must have just been sitting there with pre-written messages, copy-pasting them and just hitting enter. I mean, it was like, you know, I'm getting shot with instant messages. It was one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. And it's just like, you know, it's an emergency on your end, which really it wasn't an emergency, but, you know, just because you send it to me doesn't mean that I'm going to send you something back immediately. That, I guess that was my thing. And, you know, like I said, we worked it out, and, you know, it's all good in the neighborhood. But, you know, I had to have a little chat with her just to let her know that, you know, you have to give me a moment, you know, because I could be working on another project. We were actually in the middle of some training. So theoretically, I could not respond immediately because I was facilitating some training, and I can't walk and chew gum at the same time, let alone talk and try to type something back. Excuse me to you. So, yeah, but, you know, that's my little bitch fest. I was not liking technology right about then. So, but it's all good. Well, we are at the halfway mark, so I see that our guests are waiting to chat with us. Today on our show, we have two amazing guests, Joyce Slanger and Lori Noble. They're the authors of the new book, Gritty Lasagna, The Print and Blueprint. Now, don't be confused with some low country Italian cookbook, because, you know, Robin and I, we ain't trying to cook. But Gritty Lasagna is... Gritty Lasagna is described as an inspirational, interactive, and instructive guide to unleashing your inner power and achieving the life that you imagine. This is a book that we all need to have on our bookshelf. It includes tips, strategies, and activities to make choices aimed at leading its readers to success in whatever areas of their life that need tweaking. So this can be anything from love to friendship, health, wealth, probably relationships with your nagging coworker. This book is for you. So Lori, Joyce, welcome to Cocktails and Conversation, ladies.
Good morning. Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.
We are so happy to have you, Robin and I. We have been waiting for this day to come because we want to let our listeners know what Gritty Lasagna is all about and how we can get some grit. So let's just jump right into it. What is Gritty Lasagna, and then how did you come up with this name? Because I think it's just ingenious.
Well, first of all, I want to kind of go back just a little bit. Gritty Lasagna actually is, first of all, it's actually a company. Gritty Lasagna is actually a company that Lori and I developed, and we're a fun, passionate, very unique, as you may imagine by the name. It's a behavior science-based company, and we specialize in basically trying to help people become the best individual that they can be. So we offer a wide range of services. We do trainings and workshops and, you know, personal coaching and public speaking and all those kinds of things. But, you know, at the core, it's really a philosophy that we have, and the book is built on the philosophy about, you know, trying to help people understand how they can be the best individual and how taking things like passion, perseverance, growing and going after the things that you want and trying to achieve that long-term success in life can get you the things that you want. And so we kind of came together. Lori and I have known each other for a very long time, and several years ago we came together and we're looking at some things that were going on around us and tried to identify what we really wanted to do with this company. And out of it came this philosophy with some things that were going on at the time. And we realized that, you know, this whole concept of grit and this whole concept and idea of success was something that was very interesting to us. And so we want people to be successful, and we want people to be able to achieve those long-term goals. And it's real easy for people to achieve short-term goals, you know, because you get immediate satisfaction and immediate return on those short-term goals. But long-term goals are harder. And what we also realized is that, you know, not everybody is going to do those things the same way. And so we started looking at it, and Lori always kind of says, you know, it's kind of a layering process, kind of like lasagna, you know, and what people put in their lasagna is always different. So it's kind of very individualized. You know, what I might put in my lasagna, what Lori puts in her lasagna is very different. But in the end, we all get a lasagna out of it. So we really started kind of looking at that and realizing that at the core, you know, the core is the same. You know, you put certain things into it, but the amount of cheese that I might put in or the amount of sauce that I put in might be very different than what she puts in. But at the end, we still get a lasagna out of it. And so we really started looking at what those key ingredients are that you put into a lasagna, you know, or what those key ingredients that you need to build grit or to have success in life and to really be able to achieve those long-term successes in life. And so that's kind of where the philosophy of Gritty Lasagna started coming out, and that's what really helped us build the company. And out of that is what the concept of the book kind of came out of. I'll let Lori talk to you about how the name came up, because she's actually the one that came up with the book name. So,
well, I have a quick question before you start, Lori, because as I was reading, and this is something I say to people as well, your definition of success is different from everyone else's. And we can't base it upon, I can't base mine upon what Erica has been successful in. I have to make sure it fits my philosophy,
absolutely,
fits my lifestyle and all of that. So just talk to us a little bit about how you came up with that and how you help people to identify what their success should be.
It's exactly what you just said. Success, I always tell people, success is what you deem it to be for you in your life. You know, success, you know, I always say to people, one of the things I always tell people to kind of reflect back on is the day that I'm lying on my deathbed, and I don't mean to be morbid, but when I'm lying on my deathbed and I'm kind of looking back at my life, what would I like my life to be? What is that one thing that you want people to say about your life? Is there something that you can kind of look back on and think, this is what I want people to be able to say about my life, for example, a word, a concept, or are there things that you want to have happen in your life? And if they are, you can kind of start to identify those are the things that maybe you think would be your successes in life. And maybe it might be, for me, I always say, if I can just feel like I've lived a harmonious life, you know, that there's harmony in my life, that everybody, that we can get along and everybody's just happy and we can find joy with one another, I feel like that's success for me. You know what I mean? It's not about having, you know, that's my success. But that may not be success for somebody else. Somebody else may look back on their life and feel like, well, I want to make sure that my children are taken care of in a certain way. And somebody else may look back and feel like if they can put themselves in that situation and look back. And that's how I tell people to try to look at it. But for each individual, they have to try to figure out what is it that you want to you have to kind of really look and be really honest with yourself, because sometimes we think we know what we want, and people have a tendency to view success as that those, you know, career, money, I want a car.
Right.
Those are the things that you identify with success. And I say, what about those those internal successes? Sometimes there's things that it's those external successes that we have a tendency to jump towards, but there's a lot of internal successes, or there's successes that don't include those money, career type things that people, I think, if they're really honest, sometimes those are the things they'd really rather have. And those are the things we try to get them to understand. What's the most important thing? And success, that's why I say success is going to be so different for each individual. And the book tries to help them as you go through, as you get to go through each chapter, we really help them identify and get to know themselves in a much deeper way, which helps them really identify what success means to them. Because once you get to know who you are at a deeper level, then you really start to realize what's most important to you. And then that your idea of success really comes to the surface.
Mm-hmm. You're taking some of those top layers away.
Exactly.
Before I'm back to lasagna again, and getting to really what the core of someone's happiness is going to be.
Exactly.
And we talked about, that it's not just a linear process, that it is a continual process. And so even if it is a very tangible goal, like I want to exercise 5 times a week for an hour, that, you know, I'm going to determine my success with my actions. But we have to take all these things that we talk about in our book and the concepts that we came up with, and not in just a very step-by-step process. It is we always think of it as a spiraling process, because it's kind of, you're taking, just like in lasagna, you're putting things in each layer. So we're building on that. So when we were talking about, you know, Gritty Lasagna and coming up with the name, I actually said to my husband, because I think of like whole brain thinking, and I said, what's a food that's kind of, what do you think about when you think about whole brain? And he said, well, the whole enchilada. And I knew that wasn't it, but we were getting close. And I knew that the next morning when lasagna popped into my head, that, and Joyce and I are both Italian, that layering process was exactly what we were trying to convey to the people that we train and our readers, that it's a continual process.
Now, in the book you talk about grit. So for our listeners who aren't familiar with the term, can you explain what grit is? And then I know that there's some characteristics of a person who has grit, or I call them a gritty person. Can you share with them some of those characteristics?
Sure. Grit is, that kind of, it's funny, actually, I was really surprised that people didn't know what the word grit meant, because, I grew up knowing, when I heard the word grit, I was like, oh, grit means, that sticking with it for the long haul, hanging in there, you're tough, that kind of thing. And I guess it was because my stepfather was a real big John Wayne fan, and he, that True Grit movie, that kind of thing. But it was funny, I said the word to my kids, and my kids were like, what do you mean, like sand, like dirt? And I was like, I laughed. And then I said it recently to a person who's just like 3 or 4 years younger than me, and I'm 47. And so I said it to somebody who's just a few years younger than me, and she looked at me like I had 3 heads. And she goes, I don't know what that means. And I was like, what? And so I started wondering if people really didn't know what the word meant. So I thought that was really kind of funny. So, it was very interesting to me that that the word really didn't transpire like I thought it did. But, you know, grit really is that sticking with it for the long haul, having that that persistence, you know, being able to continually work towards a long-term goal, having that passion, that energy, you know, it isn't just being tough. It's being able to be aware of your emotions and being able to make the choices that are in alignment with what you're wanting to go after. Because if you're not in alignment with what you want to go towards, then you're going to get off track and it's going to keep you from getting there. So, you know, a gritty person is someone that's going to keep trying. They're not going to let failure get in their way. And when you do fail or an obstacle kind of, you know, a bump hits you in the road, you're going to get back up and you're going to try again. And you're going to keep learning from those failures, and you're going to take what you can learn from those situations, and then you're going to go ahead and try again so that you can keep working towards that goal, you know. And grit is a characteristic. You know, grit itself is considered a characteristic, but I would consider, you know, maybe a sub-characteristics of a grit being things like courage, you know, conscientiousness, endurance, resilience, being able to bounce back. You know, we use the acronym of grit being growth, resilience, integrity, and tenacity. You know, it's really being able to recognize that you have to see something down the road as it's going to take a while to get there, and it may take years to get there. And grit is really about those long-term goals, things that are not going to – you're not going to get pats on the back anytime soon. And you have to really have an endurance, a persistence. And Lori uses the word passion a lot, because it's really hard to go after something long term that you really don't have a passion for. So that's why we talk about really understanding what success is to you and what you really want in life, because if it's not really something you want, it's not really a passion for you, then you really aren't going to really want to put the time and energy into it.
And so that brings me to my next question. Is grit something you're born with, or is it something you learn?
Well, I think we think that, you know, certainly you see people that were probably born with traits that collectively make them gritty. But we know their environment can be as much of a factor in increasing or decreasing their ability to persevere and turn those obstacles into opportunities. And certainly we're not, you know, just because you're gritty, you're not doing everything perfectly. That's the part of being gritty, is that you keep trying, you keep persevering. And so we believe that skills can be taught and those tools can be used repeatedly, and grit is the result. And we use the analogy a lot, and we did when we were writing the book, of, you know, somebody could have a hammer, and that's their tool, and, you know, that they're going to keep bringing that hammer out and slamming it down everywhere, and maybe the hammer wasn't the tool that was necessary. Maybe we just needed a little tweak, and we just needed a screwdriver. And so it's, you know, kind of through the soft skills that we talk about in the book, is having that awareness of, you know, we don't need the hammer every single time. And through research like Angela Lee Duckworth on grit, that we know that grit is really a better indicator of success than intelligence. So it's really how we use those tools that a lot of us already have. It's just in the way that we're using them and awareness of how we've used them in the past that's really important.
Yeah, there's a lot of research out there that's coming to light now. That's like Lori just tapped into, that saying that you know, which I think is very encouraging for people, because I think, you know, when I grew up, you know, it was always about intelligence. And I think even just this generation, you know, we're so much into trying to get into the best colleges and, you know, having the best grades and the best SATs and ACT scores and all that. And, you know, my kids were, you know, my daughter, you know, is in college now. My son's trying to get into college, and they're all freaking out about their grades and all this. And now there's all this coming to light that it's really the better predictor of success is really not intelligence. It's about this characteristic of grit, and it's about the fact that those most intelligent students aren't necessarily the ones that are that are doing something with their intelligence. These kids that may not necessarily be the most intelligent kids, but have grit, are the ones that are doing something in life because they're hanging in there and they're sticking with their goals and they're going after the things that they want. And so if you can teach an individual how to be gritty, then we could have a generation of successful people. It would just change. And it would just change a generation. I mean, that would be an incredible thing to be able to do. So, you know, my goal is, you know, to try to teach my child who is intelligent, but not necessarily the most gritty kid, to be more gritty so that he can be both intelligent and gritty. And so it's a very interesting concept. And when I talk to people about this, I bring up Steve Jobs, and I talk about how, you know, Steve Jobs, very intelligent man, and how he lost, you know, Apple. He built this company up, and basically Apple was taken away from him, and he lost it at the age of 30. And what did he do? He started again. And what did he do? He built, he was part of Pixar, and he also built, he built Macintosh, and then he comes back, he loses that, and he comes back, and he builds the iPod and all that. I mean, so that was somebody who had a lot of grit, had a lot of perseverance, and didn't let failure get to him. So I try to explain to people, you know, you can have intelligence, but you have to be able to do something with it. You have to persevere through it. It's not just about having that intelligence. And so I think that's very encouraging for people who if you don't have, you know, you're not straight A students or straight A and B students, or you didn't always get the best grades in school, that doesn't mean that you can't be the best of whatever you want to be. You can do it. You just have to go after your goals and continue to stay on that path. It may take you, and it may be a little bit tougher sometimes, but you can do it. You just have to, you know, keep working at it. And so I think that's a very encouraging, that's very encouraging for people. So that's part of the reason why I wanted to do it, because I think that's just a wonderful, encouraging belief for people, because sometimes, you know, if you feel like, well, I can't be any more than this because I don't have the intelligence, you know, then you feel like, well, this is all I'm ever going to be. And so this is something, this research has really, I think, opened the door for a lot of people. And so Lori and I wanted to help people be able to actually put something in place that could help people be able to build that grit. So
you got to kind of dig your heels in.
Yep. Exactly.
I absolutely love it. So now you touched on a topic that, you know, I want to come back to, in that grit is something that can be learned, and you know, so that means it's something that can be taught. And Joyce, you used the example of, you know, your kids. Robin and I, we both have, you know, children that are, you know, teens. I have a senior who's getting ready to graduate and go on off to college. How do we, as parents, what are some tips that you can give us, just briefly, on how we can teach them grit? How do we instill in them the idea that, you know, they can do it if they stick with it?
You want actual tips right now? the one thing that I really try to get teens to recognize is that failure is not a bad thing. I think that if individuals, especially teens, could recognize, and this is my thing, Lori probably has one for you as well, but my thing is I think that we as a society look at failure as a bad thing. And I think if we could look at failure as a positive and recognize failure as what it is, which is a learning opportunity, we could change a whole headset. When we have a failure, we should look at it as, wow, okay, I failed. So what didn't work and what did work, and then take what worked and then add something new to it and try again. But what happens is so many times we fail and then we don't try anymore. And we say, I'm not good at that, and we stop. And then when we stop, we're done. Or we then take it on as, I failed, so I'm a failure. And we take it on as a personal reflection. And that would probably be my one thing, that if we could ever teach our children, is that failing does not make you a failure. And that failing is a learning opportunity, and that's exactly what it is. It's a positive time to learn, not a negative time to fail.
Yeah, well, you have a great illustration in the book. It talks about success. So some people, or most people, see success as a straight arrow going all the way up.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, it's a line that's going left, right, up, down. Everywhere, because we do have those failures and things that we need to correct and get better at before we can have that elevated level of success. And Erica brought up a great point. We're raising teens, but we're also both raising athletes.
Yeah.
And I think that as in doing that, as moms, this is a great opportunity for us to share this with our kids and other moms to help them see, we may not always win the game, but we got to go for, keep going.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And it's funny, and maybe Lori might want to talk about this. Lori, do you want to talk about the gritty kid movement a little bit?
Sure.
Since we're talking about kids.
It kind of comes from all the things you guys are just talking about, that really looking at those obstacles and not just the winning the game and the A's and the school and, all those awards that people put so much focus on are great. Those aren't bad things. Mm-hmm. But it's really the process and those obstacles, which is really just life. When we go through life, we're going to hit obstacles. And that really looking at those as opportunities to grow as individuals. And that's really the, we were talking about what we wanted to focus on this year. And that's, what you guys are talking about as parents, that's really what we want to do, is we want to help our kids navigate through life and through adulthood. And so that's what our Gritty Kids movement is really about this year, is not just teaching them to be tough and brush it off and pull themselves up from their bootstraps, because, some kids don't have bootstraps. And we're really trying to help them access those tools and develop those skills within themselves to help them figure out, where those bootstraps are in the first place. I mean, most people, if they have them, they can pull them up at least once or twice. But we're really wanting them to repeatedly do things over and over and over again. In college, we see kids, they get a grade back, they don't like it, they throw that paper out, they throw that test out. Mm-hmm. They don't look at it and see what their mistakes are and work those problems again and ask the teacher. And that's really what builds success. That's really what builds grit, is, building that foundation. And we talk a lot about that in the book, having a foundation for them to continue for that long-term success for whatever it is they want to do in the future. So that's kind of what we're wanting to do, is not just for parents, but for caregivers and teachers and coaches. That the next book that we're writing is actually for for those individuals to work a lot, to use it to work with their kids. And certainly we can use the print and blueprint, but this next book is really specifically for parents, caregivers, teachers, coaches, anybody who works with children from small kids to teenagers.
Ladies, I absolutely love it. I love your movement. I'm going to call it a gritty movement.
Yes, thank you.
I absolutely love it. And
thanks.
Was, you know, it's about being the smartest. It's about, you know, being the most resourceful, or, you know, having an attitude of to-itness, who's being, you know, very diligent and determined to be successful. And I also like it is that, you know, we're equipping not only ourselves, because I do think that we as adults sometimes tend to lose sight of those long-term goals, and we need to, you know, kind of sharpen our gritty, so to speak, so that we can be successful, but also instilling it in our kids too. And I know, as Robin and I said, that's something that, you know, we've struggled with for a very long time, you know, with our kids, especially in sports. I called it more, you know, build up self-confidence. Maybe I should have looked at it a different way in that I should have provided the tools that they needed so that they can be successful. So I applaud you, ladies. We've just got a few more seconds left. I want you all to tell people where they can find your book and how they can keep up with you.
You can get, if you want a signed and personalized copy of the book, which we will sign and personalize it, you can email us at buyabook@greylasagna.com, which we would love to do for our readers. But you can also buy the book through a link on our website at www.greylasagna.com. You can also buy the book on Amazon. And if you want to buy large orders of the book, you can also contact us directly, and we can get large orders as well. So thank you so much for having us. We really, really appreciate it.
And if you're interested in on our online book club, it's starting on March 1st on Facebook.
Yeah, we're having an online book club, so if anybody wants to join, and it's a rare opportunity for us, for the authors, to actually walk people through the book and facilitate it. So we're excited. You can contact us through the website as well if you would like to join. So.
Well, I can't speak for Robin, but I know that I will be signing up because I want to be a part of the community, because I need to learn all the tools that I can so that I can raise kids with grit.
We'd love to have you. Thank you. We'd love to have you.
Well, we will make sure that we have links to, you know, your site and your Facebook page on our blog and on our Facebook pages as well. So for those of you who are interested in learning more about Gritty Lasagna, the print and blueprint, be sure to check out our Facebook page. Joyce, Lori, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking with us. You know, 30 minutes isn't enough, so we want to extend an open invitation for you to come back anytime so we can continue the conversation, because I have a feeling that we just kind of scratched the surface here.
Yeah, Laura and I talk about this for hours on end. We have hours and hour long. We have like 8 hour long conversations about this, so I'm sure we could talk forever. But yeah, we would love to come back if you would love to have us. Thank you.
Great.
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us, Robin. We have had another fantastic show, girl.
Yes, we have.
I would encourage our listeners, if you don't already have a book, you need to go out and get the book today, for real. Like, no plan. Go get the book. If you don't have kids, this is something that I think everybody should have in their toolbox. You know, there's just certain types of those books. That's what I'm saying. Well, that's it for today's show, everyone. Again, we've had a fantastic time. I want to thank Lori and Joyce for stopping by and telling us all about Gritty Lasagna.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
which is now available. Make sure that you community. And like, you know, Joyce said, this is something that is, you know, very rarely heard of, authors actually, you know, connecting with their readers and walking them through the book. So take advantage of this, please. The power of technology. As much as I hate it sometimes, this is why I love it.
Mm-hmm. The love hate thing.
I love it. What'd you say?
It's a love-hate thing.
It is a love-hate thing. So with that, we want to wish you all a wonderful Saturday. If you are going to be partying as you're watching the Super Bowl, I want you to drink responsibly. Don't drink and drive. Take advantage of Uber. Call a friend, a taxi. But have a great weekend, and we'll see you back at the same time, same place next week. Good morning, everyone.